for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is tape one of three tapes of inspirational gifts by Reverend W.L. Duncan, a minister of deliverance and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Reading from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and starting with the first verse. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. And then the fourth verse. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh at one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now we're going to move in concerning the ministry and the operation of the nine gifts of the Spirit through each and every believer that has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And many times when God begins to move in a supernatural way, we don't understand, and many times there are things that we feel are not according to the Scripture. And as we look into the Word of God and consider what the Word has to say about it, I'm sure that we will have confidence in yielding to the Holy Ghost, realizing that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. Seventh chapter, and beginning with the seventh verse, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that seeketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Oh, how grateful I am for such a kind Heavenly Father this morning. And even as earthly parents, as our children would come to us, we're not going to give them something that would destroy them. We're not going to give them something that would lead them in blindness. We're not going to give them something that would lead them into error, because we're concerned that our children are happy, and the happier they are, it brings great happiness and peace to mother and dad. All of you parents know what I'm speaking about. As earthly parents, if we are that concerned in the natural about our children, as born-again believers, when we come to the Lord and God begins to move by His Spirit, and as the Word says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. This brings us to the place that it creates a real confidence in the work of the Spirit, and also confidence in the Word of God. Now the more God moves by His Spirit, and we allow the Spirit of God to move in our lives, the greater confidence it creates in us in having confidence in the Lord as well as the Word of God. Now I want to share a scripture with you in John the 16th chapter and the 13th verse. John 16 and 13. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Alright, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Now, according to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He is not going to be the Spirit of truth in the sweet by and by. He's not going to be the Spirit of truth in the millennium. He's not going to be the Spirit of truth in some future time. Thus, as the Holy Ghost has already been given, and as we have been baptized with the Holy Ghost, He is the Spirit of truth. And where is the Spirit of truth? The Spirit of truth is inwardly. He is abiding within us because we have accepted Christ as our personal Savior. And as we have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and have spoken in other tongues, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He is dwelling within us, and He will show us things to come. Now, I bring this thought for our understanding, for us to realize that, all right, when the Spirit of truth is within us, and if someone is ministering truth, the Spirit of truth within us will witness that that is truth. But if there is spirit of error, if there is spirit of blindness, if there is a spirit of a false prophet that is going forth, we do not have to wait to converse with somebody else. We don't have to wait to call this person or another person. But the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth and who is abiding within, He will witness to you whether that is truth or error. You have no idea how much this thrills me, because since the Lord moved upon my life in such a sovereign way 8.5 years ago, the Lord has given me such confidence. And this is the reason I'm not afraid of the flesh. I'm not afraid of fanaticism. I'm not afraid of wildfire. I'm not afraid that people are going to get off this way or that way, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And as He is abiding within, if something comes that is not of God, that Spirit of truth within me will show me that that is not of God. But when there is truth coming forth, and where there is a demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God, and the saints are being liberated in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost witnesses truth to my heart, and I say, thanks be unto the name of the Lord. For I want to share just a word here, that I never felt that we would live to see the day when we would see Catholic people that know the Lord, Episcopalians, Presbyterians, Baptists, Methodists, Lutherans, Pentecostal, of every type, of the Trinity, of oneness, and many others, who would be so blended and moving into the realm of the Spirit that every one of us lost our identity, that we stood for this or we stood for that. We lose our identity when God moves by His Spirit, and we become concerned about one thing, and that is where Christ said, if I, even I, be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now, the reason that you must understand that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, because many times when God begins to move, and people will say, well, it's not the way it happened 40 years ago, it's not the way it happened 50 years ago, while they'll say, I was in a revival 20 years ago, and this isn't the way it happened. It's not supposed to be, because there's going to be light restored that the church hasn't had yet, or they have not had the understanding. Now, when I speak of restored light or restored truth, I'm not speaking of truth outside of the Word of God. All the truth is given in the Word of God. But remember that since the death and the resurrection of the Lord, which has been some 1900 years, that over 1,000 years of that time has been known as the Dark Ages. And during the Dark Ages, most truth was lost. And the truth that was lost naturally has to be restored. And as God began to move, thank God for the restoring that the just shall live by faith. Thank God for the truth of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. We thank God for the message of salvation. We thank God for the message of the blood. We thank God for the message of the power in the name of Jesus. But then many went on from being born again, and it did not make null and void the truth of the born-again experience, but they moved on to the work of sanctification, for a real work of justification to be done in their heart and their soul. Then as they began to move on into the things of God, many began to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the early 1900s. They began to speak in other tongues, and during that time, the message of speaking in other tongues was not a popular message. But oh, how grateful we are to the Lord that many stood for this truth. And during those years, many of you mothers and fathers of Israel will look back. And many of you who have recently come into the experience of Pentecost will remember when the Pentecostal people were looked down upon. That was not an accepted message. Many of us as Pentecostal people have forgotten the reproach that went with Pentecost when many of them came into the experience of Pentecost in 1900, 1910, yes, even 1930, when it swept from one speak to the other. But now, as God begins to move in a supernatural way, the gifts of the Spirit in an operation, and as we're going to mention in these tapes, spiritual activity, many will say, well, it's not the way it happened before. It shouldn't be the way it happened before, because the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more until the perfect day. Now, all of the Scripture, according to the Word of God, and you will agree with me here when I say that all Scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Every bit of the Word was of God was given by revelation. Well, as the Word of God came by inspiration of the Holy Ghost and by revelation, it must be received by revelation. Paul the Apostle said that the natural man receiveth not the things of God. And the natural man is not speaking of the person outside of the church. He is speaking of the person within the church, and yes, even the group within the church that has received the gift of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For he was speaking to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And as he was speaking there, he said, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Now, as you read the Word of God, you must read it with revelation. You must read it with the Spirit of truth, because if you don't, you will never understand the Word of God, and you will never understand the things of the Spirit, because they're not revealed to the natural. And again, I must repeat here that all the Scripture has been given by inspiration, that all Scripture has been given by revelation, and it must be received by revelation. And as you understand this, you realize that actually what the Word of God is, it is a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the greater the revelation that you have of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will see His glory, the majesty, the power, and we will realize that the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in my Lord, and that I am complete in Him. We are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ, because as the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in my Lord, we are complete in Him. Many people say, well, I would like to have a double portion of the Spirit, such as Elijah had. I would like to have God's Spirit come upon me in a double way. Let me tell you and challenge you, saints of God, thank God for the double portion of the Spirit that was passed from Elijah to Elisha. But you cannot be satisfied with a double portion of God's Spirit today. You must move on into the fullness of the Spirit of God moving in your heart and soul to bring you to the full stature, to bring you to the full measure of the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling in you. Now that's far greater than a double portion of the Spirit. Christ came to make us a whole man. Christ came to make us a complete man. Christ came to give us life, and not only just life, but He came to give us life in abundance. Oh, how grateful I am that the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more until the perfect day. And I ask you in the name of the Lord that as you will sit and listen to these tapes, for you to take the Word of God. And before you start to listen to the tape, now you say, Lord, I open my heart to spiritual truth and understanding, because the devil has played one trick upon us from one nation and one state and one country to another, and that is that he has caused us to put over our doorstep that we are full gospel. In other words, that actually the word full gospel means full orb truth. I don't feel that any person has a full orb truth. I don't have the full orb truth. I don't have the full understanding of the word. And this is a reason daily, even as a servant of the Lord, I say, Lord, keep my heart open. Lord, keep my heart teachable. Lord, make me receptive to the things of God, because there is going to be truth restored until that which is perfect is come, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that which is perfect is come, which is Christ, then that which is in part shall be done away with. But as we've already given you the Scripture, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more until the perfect day. And the closer we come to the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more truth is going to be revealed. And it's going to be truth that is already in the Word of God, because any revelation that would come that is aside from the Word, that is not revelation. Now remember that all truth is in the Word of God, but our eyes have been blinded, our ears have been dulled until we have not heard by the Spirit of God. But thanks be unto the name of the Lord that these are days when, as Isaiah wrote in Isaiah the 40th chapter, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now remember John 16 and 13, that when He, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now the Spirit of truth has already come. When God is moving by His Spirit, the Holy Ghost can live within you and witness to that truth even if you've never heard it before. And it will show you and bear witness with you that this is of God and that God is moving in a sovereign way and that you don't want to miss out on the move of God just because of something that you've been taught a number of years ago. Now again here I must give you a scripture that the traditions of man make null and void the word of God. There are many things that we've been taught because our pastors taught it to us and we felt it was a word. They taught it because their elders and their pastors taught it to them and they thought it was the word of God. But I challenge every one of you to take the word of God and take it for exactly what it is. And when the word of God says something, we're so prone to say, but what about this? Or but what about something else? Well, we'll say, will this organization accept it? Do they have that in their bylaws? Listen, saints of God, whether the organizations accept it or not, it does not make it wrong. You take it not because it's accepted by a large group. You take it because it says it in the Word of God. And if you've been adding a but this and a but something else, you leave those buts out and you take the Word of God for what it says. Across America, there is so much literature being put out that so many people are in confusion, and many of God's people do not know the still small voice of the Lord because we have not been obedient to the word of the Lord when He said, go to your secret closet and close the door, and as you would pray in secret, that the Lord would reward you openly. And the only way we can come to the place in knowing the still small voice of the Lord is the secret closet ministry. Oh, how I thank the name of the Lord that there is a word of testimony among the believers that as Christ spoke and said that my sheep know my voice. We know His voice because of the secret closet line. We know His voice because of the word of God, and we're not listening to many different spirits. We're not listening to many different voices. We're not listening to many different denominations. But again, God's people are coming to the place that as John the Revelator wrote to the seven churches, and he ended every message by saying, hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We've been listening to what this literature has to say about it. We've been listening to what another personality has to say about it. And we'll say, well, so-and-so has been in Pentecost for so many years, they must have the truth. Listen, we can be in Pentecost, and I've been in Pentecost since I was 7 years old, but I've never seen such a demonstration and a move of the Holy Ghost as I have witnessed in this last 8.5 years. And this power is increasing and is increasing. And the Spirit of God is moving upon the body in joy, and the saints are being liberated, and we're seeing that God is moving, and the saints of God are hungry for God to move, but they can only move to the degree and be liberated to the degree that the leaders and the pastors and the missionaries and the evangelists will allow them, because the husbandman must be partaker first. And for us to move into the ministry of these 9 gifts of the Spirit, I believe that the spirit of liberation, the spirit of truth is going to move upon many, and that we're going to become like the Bereans, that they became students of the Word of God, and they begin to read the Word of God with an open mind, forgetting about the past, forgetting about the traditions of the past, realizing that the traditions of men will make null and void the Word of God. And instead of a dead letter, the Word of God is a living letter. It's a vital letter. It's a living word. It's something that brings life. It's not something dull. It's not something that we can't understand. But it's something that we meditate upon day and night. It's something that thrills our hearts and our souls, because the Lord is bringing many sons into glory. Now concerning truth, here again a scripture that many of us have known for years and years, and that is in John the 8th chapter and the 32nd verse. And John said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Many people say, I feel I'm in bondage today. I feel that I'm in Babylon today. I'm so bound up, it's impossible for me to enjoy the things of the Lord. Remember, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, to the degree that you know the truth, to that degree are you free. When we came to know the truth of being born again, accepting Christ as our personal Savior, to that degree that we accepted the Lord and was born into the family of God, to that degree were we free and set free from sin. Then as we moved on into holiness, into sanctification, into a right standing with the Lord Jesus Christ, then there was a greater liberty and a greater freedom. As many moved on in and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost by speaking another tongue, there was a greater measure of being free. Then as the grave clothes are cut, as the Spirit of God begins to move, as we choose to praise the Lord in the dance, as we choose to praise the Lord in the victory march, as we choose to praise the Lord with the high sounding praises of God, as we choose to praise the Lord with the tambourine, as we choose to walk in the Spirit, naturally there's great freedom and liberty and joy such as we have never known, because ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now let me say right here, the devil's one intention that after you come to the Lord is to bind you up. Anything that binds you up and that brings fear to you is not of God, because God has brought us to the place, and according to the Word of God, He has made every way for us to be a liberated person, to be a free person, to be a person that knows how to flow in the Spirit and to flow with other believers, because this is body ministry. And I want to challenge every minister, every leader that is listening in right now, that you'll be having these tapes in your home meetings, in your different church gatherings, that it's God's intention for body ministry to come forth. And as we approach the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not going to be a one-man show. It's not going to be a one-man rule, because the ministry of the nine gifts of the Spirit, as we're going to be bringing out and showing you in the Word of God, body ministry brings confusion to the devil. Now, if it's just a one-man rule, if the devil wants to get the service down the drain, if the pastor's going to lead the song service, he's going to pray, he's going to give a 30 or 45-minute talk or speech or sermon, a homiletically arranged message, all he has to do on Sunday morning is to get the minister discouraged, and the whole service will be down the drain. It's same on Sunday night. But when God begins to move by the Holy Ghost, and as we read in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, and the 26th verse, how is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. Now may I say again, he says, how is it then, brethren, when ye come together, that every one of you hath a psalm, that every one of you hath a doctrine, that every one of you hath a tongue, that every one of you hath a revelation, that every one of you hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. And in body ministry, when we come together, instead of just a one-man rule, and as I mentioned before, if the devil wants to send that service down the drain, all he has to do is bring confusion to that one man, because then discouragement will sweep over the entire congregation, because we become partaker of another person's spirit. But in body ministry, when we come together, instead of just taking out a song book, and we're going to sing In the Sweet By and By, and other songs like Tempted and Tried, that actually it brings discouragement upon the body, because there is power in words. But when we come together, suddenly God will begin to move, and there'll be the high sounding praises of God, and the voice of the Lord will go forth as the sound of many waters. Then over here, one brother will stand, and he'll begin to prophesy. Another young person that has just been saved, a young lad, will stand, and he'll begin to give a tongues message. On the opposite side of the building, some person that he doesn't even know will stand and begin to interpret. Somebody else will begin to stand, and they'll begin to sing a prophecy. The devils are confused. Body ministry brings confusion to the devil, and they do not know how to hinder, and listen to me, because this must be revelation to you. They don't know how to hinder, and they will not know how to block a service. They will not know how to hinder the flow of the Spirit, because they will not know who to move upon. Because in body ministry, even we as leaders, we don't know who's going to move, who's going to stand, who's going to prophesy, who's going to sing in the Spirit, who's going to stand with the doctrine, who's going to stand with the revelation that will be to the edifying of the body of Christ. And this is a reason that it will bring such joy in the body and such victory in the body. And in services like this, we see more souls saved than we've ever seen saved in the old school. We see more baptized with the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands and say, receive ye the Holy Ghost, than we've ever seen baptized in the old order. We see more healed and set free by the power of God, and demons cast out in the name of Jesus, and the saints of God that have been in bondage for years, they move into a joyous liberty in the Holy Ghost, because the demons that have come to hinder the working of God, they don't have any power, they don't know who to move upon, and instead of the saints of God being brought into confusion in body ministry, demons and the imps of hell are brought into confusion, and the power of God will overrule the power of the enemy every time, because when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now as God begins to move by His Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit begin to be in operation. Many times, even as leaders will think, well, body ministry is a helter-skelter service. You can come in and you can just do anything you want to. Oh, 1,000 times, no, it's not like that at all. It takes more leadership and knowing how to move in the realm of the Spirit. And the secret of body ministry is to teach participation, that when there is a spirit of prophecy, for if you have a word of prophecy, to stand and prophesy. If you order the service for everybody to sing the high-sounding praises of God, don't think that's the time to prophesy, but you move in with the body and you sing the high-sounding praises of God. As we move on into body ministry and the whole saints, the whole congregation will move in and begin to praise God in the dance. That's the time to participate in the order that God is moving. If a spirit of travail will come upon the body, that's the time to move in and to flow in the realm of the Spirit in the way that God is moving, because the fallow ground is being broken. The main secret of the move of God is for the leaders to know and to teach participation among the body of Christ, and not only expect the body of Christ to do it, but for the husbandman to be partaker first, so that we will all flow in the realm of the Spirit. Now the flow of the Spirit will cause unity. And when there's unity, naturally there's one accord. And when there is unity and a one accord spirit, God will be there to honor His word, because God always works in harmony. He always works in unity. He always works in a one accord spirit. And when there is unity and a one accord spirit, the gift of faith will be in operation. And naturally, when the gift of faith is in operation, there will be healings, there will be miracles, there will be divine life that will be imparted. We will become partakers of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, because God works in harmony. Now, this takes time for groups to realize. This takes time. This doesn't happen overnight. In the groups that we've been with, there's one teaching that I teach over and over and over that every person must realize, and this is participation. Participate in the divine order, the service. Now, many that will come into meetings like this will say, well, that Paul said, let everything be done decently and in order. I used to assist full-time in a mortuary, and I'll tell you, in the embalming room, everything was really decently and in order. As we would place the corpses in the bodies, in a casket, and as we would put them in a side room, there would be times that I would spend all night there. I'll tell you, everything was so in order that I wished that something would move. Now, that is not the order that is spoken of in the Word of God. In our cold churches that have so even departed from the move of God because we're afraid of the flesh, we're afraid of fanaticism. I'm speaking of Pentecostal churches now. This is not the order that Paul the Apostle was speaking about. You can go out to a cemetery. Those tombs are in the same place every day. 6 feet underneath the ground, everything is in order. This is not the order that is spoken about in the Word of God. The order that is spoken about in the Word of God is the order of the Holy Spirit, is the order of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God begins to move by His Spirit, it is not out of order. If you hear a person come screaming and frothing at the mouth, saying, I'm demon-possessed, I want the demons to be cast out, naturally the old church will say, that's the flesh. That's not the flesh. That's not being out of order, because the greater God moves, the greater is going to be the manifestation of the devil, and the greater the authority will be over the demonic spirit to take dominion in the name of the Lord and to liberate those people and to set them free by the power of God. It is not out of order for joy and rejoicing to come upon the body of Christ, and for those that have been in Babylon, and for the saints, the mothers and fathers of Israel that have known the former glory of God, it is not out of order for them to stand and weep, or a holy laughter to come upon them, and for them to begin to move in the realm of the Spirit. This is the order that Paul the Apostle is speaking about. Now I want to tell you concerning the divine order that God has given. It's the divine order that is according to the Word of God, and not the order that is set up by some denomination that is saying that we're going to, if anybody speaks in tongues, we're going to have to send them to the basement because people won't understand. It's not the order that we say, well, somebody feels like singing in the Spirit, now we're going to sing that down, we're going to talk that down, we're going to pray that down. That has brought chaos in the body of Christ. The fear of fanaticism and the fear of the flesh has actually produced the word working of the enemy, because God's people are so bound down today that how many have liberty and freedom in the Holy Ghost? It's no wonder that so many are suffering from cancers. It's no wonder that so many ministers are having heart attacks and nervous breakdowns. It's no wonder that pastors' wives have come to the place that they can hardly stand the ministry anymore, because I feel that I'm honest in saying that I believe 90 or 95% of that which we call ministry is nothing but just trying to feed the saints with a milk bottle instead of the meat of the Word of God. There has not been the operation of the Spirit of God to make the Word a living Word within the hearts and the lives of the believer. And there's one thing in this move of God that we are witnessing all over the country. They overcame him, the devil, in Revelation 12 and 11. They overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We have known the ministry for years of the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. But how many of us have known that we overcome the devil by the word of our testimony? Many are coming to the place that there is such a cleansing in the temple that we have a word of testimony that nobody can deny. It is a witness of the Holy Ghost. It is something that happened to me. It is something that happens to you. And one by one, these saints will come and stand behind the microphone. They'll say, thank God that the fallow ground has been broken. Thank God I have been liberated. I have been set free. Thank God for the truth of the word that has come forth, that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Thank God for the Spirit of God that is liberated. And I'll tell you, we prayed for years for the saints to be liberated. But then when the saints are liberated, most of the ministers and the denomination get scared, and they'll say, well, I'm afraid it's the flesh. I'm afraid it's fanaticism. And in these studies, you'll hear me say many times, I have no fear of people getting in the flesh. Now, this may shock you if you haven't been in our meetings, and if you're hearing this for the first time, you'll say, oh, you have no fear of people getting in the flesh. I have no fear of people getting in the flesh, because there's not one of us that have come to the place that we are so spiritual, that we are so holy. Most of us have dressed in the flesh. The men have shaved in the flesh. The women have done your work in the flesh. We have driven to the house of God in the flesh. We walked in the flesh. We sat down in the flesh. How many will agree with me? Most of you will have to say amen to that. And then for some reason, an untruth and a lie from the pit of hell has made us think that some way, when we get to the house of God on Sunday morning at 11 or on Sunday night at 7:30, to make us be very careful that we're going to get in the flesh. We are already in the flesh, so I'm not afraid of anybody getting in the flesh. I'm concerned about you getting out of the flesh into the realm of the Spirit. Now, how are you going to do this? Through body ministry. How are you going to get out of the flesh in the realm of the Spirit? By spiritual activity. The old school says, well, I believe in dancing if you dance in the Spirit. Well, I believe in dancing in the Spirit, but there's not one scripture that will say just to dance in the Spirit. But I can give you scripture after scripture where the Word of God tells you, and you can start with Psalms 149. You can start with Psalms 150, and it says to let them praise His name in the dance. Now, the word may, let means to allow or to give vent to. And where did He say to allow? He said allow or to let them praise God in the dance, in the congregation of the righteous. Listen, saints of God, if you've never moved into this, there's nothing more beautiful than to see from the little children, 2 and 3 years old, up to the teenagers, middle-aged people, people in their 20s and 30s, people up to 80 and even 90 years old, that will begin to flow in the realm of the Spirit. And yes, even with their eyes open, as God begins to move, we choose to begin to move in and to praise God in the dance. I've never seen such a beautiful sight in all my life. It's impossible for you to leave a service like that with envy. It's impossible for you to leave a service like that with jealousy. It's impossible for you to leave a service like that with pride. It's impossible for you to leave a service like that with hypocrisy. It's impossible for you to leave a service like that with aught against anyone, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And as we begin to allow God to move and to put aside this man-made order, we're going to know a liberation and a freedom in the Holy Ghost as we've never known, because the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. Now, good preaching will not destroy the yoke. If good sermons would have set people free, the whole world would have been free. If good sermons would have set the people free from sin and caused them to be born again, every person would be born again, because good preaching has gone on for years and years. And listen to me now, you see, are you against preaching? I feel that there is a difference of preaching and ministering the word. We need ministers who will minister the word. We need ministers who will not just be concerned about a homiletical sermon because we were taught to do it this way in Bible school or some seminary. We need ministers who will move in and minister truth, and not only minister truth, but allow the activity of the Holy Ghost. We worship God in spirit and in truth. And many of us have known these things for years, and this is what stirred my heart. And I'll share on one of these tapes the testimony of that which happened to me after I was in Pentecost for since I was 7 years old, a Pentecostal minister for 13 years, and then because of such a hunger in my heart for 7 months that God moved upon me in such a sovereign way. I said, Lord, I said, it's one thing to hear about the power. I said, Lord, it's one thing to tell about the Azusa Street revival. I said, Lord, it's one thing to tell about the Welsh revival. But if my own boy, who was about 7 or 8 years old at the time, and my own teenagers in my congregation, or my precious congregation, I said, Lord, if they don't see the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God, I have no one to blame but myself. And that's the reason I became concerned that our young people would know what it was to be slain in the power of God, that they would know what it was to be used in tongues and interpretation and prophecy, that they would know what it was to be used in the realm of discerning of spirits for the casting out of devils. And listen, I've never seen so much joy in the body of Christ as we have witnessed in these 8.5 years because of the liberation of the Spirit of God. Now, when people are liberated, there's going to be action take place. When faith is in operation, there is action. There is no faith without action. The book of Acts is going to be completed in you and me. The book of action of that which the divine life of God will do. That which the Holy Spirit has chosen to do in this dispensation. And I believe in the year of 1966 and starting now that the body of Christ, the church of the living God, is beginning to move in the greatest demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God that we've ever known from the book of Genesis to Revelation. I believe there's going to be such a great manifestation of the Spirit of God, for the scripture says, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all, A-L-L, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. It's going to be greater than the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. It's going to be greater than the outpouring of the Welsh revival. It's going to be greater than the outpouring of the Holy Ghost during the change of coming into the 1900s. Each time God sends a revival, it exceeds the glory that the group had before, because he is bringing many sons into glory. Now as we move on into the ministry of the 9 gifts of the Spirit, the operation of the 9 gifts of the Spirit, you will see, according to the Word of God, that these things are not hard to move into, that they're not out someplace that you have to reach for them, but we're going to give you the Word of God and show you that it's going to be so easy for you to move in. Again, I ask you to keep your hearts open. Remember that Matthew, and in the 7th chapter, he said that if you come to the Father, he's going to give you that which is good for you. And as we shared the scripture with you, that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And as we will take exactly what the Word of God says about this, and allow the Spirit of God to make that revelation to us, we will come into a glorious liberty, and every captive will be set free. There's been such a dearth in the land, spiritually speaking. There's been such a famine in the land, spiritually speaking. But he said, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. I will pour water upon the dry ground. Listen, the saints are hungry today. We're thirsting. Those that have known the former glory have prayed for years that God would restore the glory. This is W.L. Duncan that is bringing you the ministry on the 9 gifts of the Spirit, on spiritual activity. This first tape, that may the Lord encourage and bless you, is the beginning of the ministry on the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And as we move on in, we're going to move in on not only to the inspirational gifts, but to the revelational gifts. We're going to move into the power gifts. We're going to move into spiritual activity. And I know that the Lord is going to take the message of truth and is going to bring glorious liberty and faith in the Holy Ghost. For remember that the kingdom of God is righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. As we read in Joel, the 1st chapter, and starting with the 10th verse, the field is wasted, the land mourneth, for the corn is wasted, The new wine is dried up, the oil languisheth. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen, howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. Even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Now before we go on here, I want to show you one thing, that the church, which Joel speaks of here, as an orchard. And as he looks out over the orchard and all the trees, he said that all the trees are withered away. Great destruction and devastation has taken place. And there's been one reason that he named, and he said it's happened, and you can read it in Joel 1 and 12. It says, all the trees are withered because joy is withered away from the sons of men. In the early days of Pentecost and in the early days of almost every move of God, there was great joy because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And may I say it here, this is the reason I'm such a great believer in spiritual activity. This is the reason I'm such a great believer in the move of the Holy Ghost and the liberation of the saints. Because to the degree that joy is manifested, to that degree will there be the gift of faith. And to the degree the gift of faith will be in operation, to that degree will there be the gifts of healing and the gift of miracles, and all the other gifts will be in operation because of joy being manifested in the body of Christ. Then it gives a word of warning to the leaders, to the husbandmen, to the ministers. In Joel 1 and 13, he said, gird yourselves and lament, you priests. Howl, you ministers of the altar. Come lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God, for the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. Oh, how we have held back the praises unto the Lord. How we've held back the meat offering and the drink offerings from the house of the Lord. And then he says in the 14th verse, sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Now the reason he told us to cry unto the Lord, because there's great destruction and great destroying had taken place among the believers, and joy had departed from the house of the Lord. In Joel the 2nd chapter and the 21st verse we read, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. And may I mention it here that when we speak of the word Zion, Zion means an elevated place with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word of God tells us in the New Testament that we have been raised up now to sit with Christ in heavenly places. We are not waiting for a trumpet to sound. We are not waiting for the millennium to come. But he said that we have been raised up now to sit with Christ in heavenly places. The devil does not want you to know this truth. He doesn't want you to know that you have dominion and power over all the powers and the works of the devil. And he said, be glad then, you children of Zion. We are children of Zion. We have come to the kingdom at such a time as this. As we have accepted Christ as our personal Savior, we are in an elevated place and a lifted up place with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Joel goes on to say, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And I'll make a teapot of it, but I'd like to mention here, people will say, well, do you believe in the latter rain? I'll tell you, let's take the Word of God for exactly what it says. People say, well, look what happened back here. Look what happened back there. Oh, listen, look what's happened in the world, period. Look what has happened much in Pentecost. But we're not going to put aside the Pentecostal experience because of that which has been taken to the ditch. And again, I would like to bring to your attention here that in every group there's been a measure of truth. And that truth has been taken to the ditch by leaders. It's been taken to the ditch by denomination. It's been taken to the ditch because of those who have not walked in righteousness with the Lord. But because there's a certain truth that's been taken to the ditch, are we going to leave it in the ditch? It's about time that we take these truths. I don't know who they're connected with. And let's take them if they're in the Word of God. I have chosen to use terms that are in the Word of God, and nobody can stand against that. You didn't write it. I had nothing to do with writing it. It came by revelation. It came by inspiration. And so the Word of God says here, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And notice the 25th verse. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I set among you. Now notice something here. He said, my great army which I set among you. The Lord, not the devil, sent this army among the church, because in Joel 1 and 10 that we've already shared with you, because joy had withered away from the sons of man. Now that can't be blamed on the works of the devil. The Lord sent this army because he said, my army, my great army which I sent among you. And he said that then as he had sent that army, he said great devastation and destruction had taken place. But then he said, and I will restore to you the years that has been destroyed. I'll tell you, Pentecost and the church is in for, I'll tell you, reaping as we've never known, because as we've already mentioned on the first part of this tape, I'll tell you, talk about the dearth land. Talk about the famine in the land. I wouldn't want to go back to those drought years even in Pentecost for anything in the world. I look back even in the Midwestern states, and I'm not speaking in the natural now. I can think of those famine years where there didn't seem to be a breath of God in any conference, in any fellowship meeting. We would go with our hearts open to God, and I said many times, oh God, those famine years, thank God that you've taken us out and that water is beginning to come. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. And when this begins to happen, the word of God says that out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living waters. Now these rivers of living waters come direct from the throne of God. And if you're going to allow the Spirit of God to flow in and through you, that's the reason there has to be the cleansing of all the garbage. All the corruption has to go. The Spirit of God will not flow into any unclean areas, as we've taught in our messages on demonic activity. But he says, I will restore to you, I will restore to you. And no one, no denomination can stand and tell me that we have been restored to the full degree that the Lord has intended for us. I don't care who you are. I don't care who it is. That's the reason none of us have the full orb truth, and none of us have been restored to the full measure that Christ has intended for us. But listen, the 26th verse and the second chapter of Joel, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And this is the reason I said we never felt that we would live to see the year when born again Catholics, Episcopalians, Lutherans, Methodists, Pentecostal people would be flowing together in the realm of the Spirit, and that every one of us would have lost our identity, and you wouldn't know what I am and I wouldn't know what you are, except we know each other by the Holy Ghost. We know each other by the Spirit of the Lord. And may I challenge you here by saying that for too many years we've known after the flesh. For too many years we've known each other because of personality. Because for too many years we've known each other because people have felt they're in the 10 top class and so on, so's in another class. Listen, in the sight of God, that is hogwash. We need to know each other by the Spirit of God. And in meetings across the nation where we've been, there have been certain people that we've met, and without even knowing their name, we already know them in the Holy Ghost. There's a bond of love, there's a bond of fellowship, that there can't be anything closer in the entire world, even among families. Why? Because we know each other by the Spirit of God. And those that come into this, one is not going to break ranks with the other, because we know in the Holy Ghost we're sealed by the Spirit of God. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out of my Spirit. Thank God that these are days of restoring. Thank God that these are days that the Lord is bringing life to the body of Christ, and that the Spirit of God is moving upon all flesh. It's bypassing denominational walls. It's bypassing organizational walls. The former and the latter rain is coming, and it's flooding. And I'll tell you, it's moving over the walls of everything, even many of us who have stood for little puny doctrine that we felt have been so important. The Spirit of God is even moving beyond those puny doctrine, and we are being brought together in the unity of the faith. Hallelujah. Now let's move on into the ministry of the nine gifts of the Spirit. And again, I would like to start by sharing with you again from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and the first verse. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. And then on down to the fourth verse, and before we read the fourth verse, I want to say this. Paul said that he wouldn't have us to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. You know why there is such ignorance concerning spiritual gifts among the believers? Many of the sheep are hungry. Many of them are longing to move in. The spirits are the ignorance on spiritual gifts have come because of a lack of understanding from the husbandmen and from the leaders. And as husbandmen, as leaders, as ministers of the gospel, I challenge you in the name of Jesus. I challenge you by the Holy Ghost that we as husbandmen and leaders will become partakers first, because you can impart or you can't give something that you don't have. We can talk about it. We can use the same term, but it is impossible to give something that you don't possess yourself. And the reason that there's such ignorance and the lack of understanding concerning spiritual gifts in the land today is because there's been a lack of understanding because of what we've been taught years ago. And as I've already mentioned, we've been afraid of fear and fanaticism. We need a move of the Holy Ghost that will remove from us fear of man, fear of the flesh, fear of denomination, fear of organization, fear of the devil, that we only have the fear of God, and that we will move into truth whether we have to stand alone all of our lives for a period of time, because with the move of God will come reproach and rejection. And we felt that God was going to move in such a nice way because there's been such a spirit of ease in Zion. God is going to move in a way that's going to shake up your little corner. God's going to move in a way that's going to shake your kingdom. That's the reason the Word of God tells us in Hebrews 12 and 13 that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And let me tell you right now, according to the Word of God, our little kingdoms that we've built up, our little organization that we've built up, that we say that we have increased with goods, that we have need of nothing, that means nothing in the sight of God. In fact, it brings a stench to the nostrils of the Lord. And he said, when you say you have need of nothing, he said, you have need of everything, he said, because you're naked and you're blind and you're wretched. How many of us have come to the place with Peter and John that we say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. America, and even among Pentecost, we say we've never had such a great standing in the community. Why, we've never had such beautiful buildings. We've never had such learned men. We've never had such beautiful carpets. We've never had such lovely organs and pianos. I want to tell you, a degree has never cast out a demon. I'm not against degrees, but I'm bringing this out to show you that if we try to substitute that for the power of God, it will never do the job. The world has beautiful buildings. The church isn't called to compete with the world. A beautiful cathedral has never brought deliverance to any person. A beautiful building has never brought healing to any person. This is only brought about by the Spirit and the power of God, and according to the power of God that worketh in us. The Word of God tells us that God will do exceeding abundantly above that we ask or think. And many of us stop there. But listen, that scripture goes on to say, according to the power that worketh within us. According to the power that worketh within us. We come and we say, God, you promised to do exceeding abundantly above that we ask or think. God, why aren't you doing it? Listen, there's a responsibility there that is placed upon us according to the power that worketh within us. Many people want to be identified with Christ in his glory. Many people want to be identified with Christ in his majesty. But how many want to be identified with Christ and take the reproach, the rejection, the persecution? Many say, well, we'll be known as holy rollers. We'll be known as tongue-speaking people, will be known as this, will be known as that, any group that will stand up for God. You are separated from the world. You are separated from Babylon. And may I say here again, there's such a spirit of the world that has crept into the body of Christ that we can hardly tell the church from the world and the world from the body of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, Paul said that we have not received the spirit of the world, and none of us can kid ourselves. We know that the church, even the Pentecostal denomination have accepted the spirit of the world into the body of Christ. And when I speak of the spirit of the world, I'm not speaking of a little bit of makeup on a lady's face. I'm not speaking of whether you wear a necklace on your, hanging down your neck or a little pin on your ear. I'm not speaking of that. The devil has stood back and laughed when we preached a clothesline gospel, when God is such a great God that I don't believe that he's even looking at a lot of those little puny things. And when we've been preaching those things, envies and strifes and jealousies have come in. And there the church has gone on the, down the drain because there's been no power working inwardly within us by the Holy Ghost. As you hear this tape, I'm believing God that a new heart will be created within you. This is the reason Ezekiel of old spoke as the Spirit of God moved upon him. And the Lord said, I will give you a new heart. He said, I will give you a new spirit. And we must realize that the Lord is not going to put the new wine in old bottles. Now that's the word. You cannot mix the old and the new. It's against the word. He will not do it. For you to receive the new wine from heaven that gives you glorious liberty in the Holy Ghost and will cause the operation of the Spirit of God and the manifestation of the Spirit to be manifested in and through you, you absolutely have to have a new heart. You have to have a new spirit. You have to have a new life. For the Lord will not put the new wine in old bottles, and we're going to make a complete tape on that that will be out for you to order very soon. But now let us go on to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and starting with the 4th verse. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and the 6th verse, and there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now, many times we read that scripture very rapidly, and the diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all, and we don't think about the all in all that he's speaking about. Now we're going to break that down. Now this is exactly what the word said, the 6th verse. But it is the same God which worketh all. Now what all was he speaking about? Starting with the 8th verse, he's going to name all the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And here they're listed, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And so in the all that Paul is speaking about, in 1 Corinthians 12, he is speaking about all the 9 gifts of the Spirit. So he said that he worketh all the 9 gifts of the Spirit in whom? He worketh all the 9 gifts of the Spirit in all, and the all that he's speaking about, he's speaking to the Spirit-filled church at Corinth. He's speaking to us even in this day that he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I know this statement will be shocking to you, that he worketh all the 9 gifts of the Spirit in all who have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, people will say, well, if that's the case, how come I've never spoken in tongues? They'll say, well, if that's the case, how come I've never prophesied? If that's the case, how come I've never cast out demons? Well, because of the lack of knowledge. The word says, my people are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. And again, the scripture that we've been sharing with you, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. All right, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the 9 gifts of the Spirit are resident at all times. All the 9 gifts of the Spirit are resident within you from the very moment that you have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, because may I bring it out here that Christ is the 9 gifts of the Spirit. People will say, now you're going to get too gift conscious. You absolutely cannot get too gift conscious, because Christ is all wisdom, so he gives a word of wisdom. Christ is all knowledge, so he gives a word of knowledge. Christ is all faith, so he gives a gift of faith. Christ is all healing, so he gives a gifts of healing. Christ is all miracle working power, so he gives the gift of miracles. Listen, Christ is the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And as we read the words, that we become partakers of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is going to be shocking to you when I say this, but when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we receive the ability of God. Now don't misunderstand me. We're not a little God over here and another little Lord over there and another God someplace else. But when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the 9 gifts of the Spirit are resident within you at all times. For 1 Corinthians 12 and 6, and underline it, for that it is the same God which worketh all in all, which he worketh all the nine gifts of the Spirit in all who have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and thereby you possess of the ability of God. And the greater this is revelation to you, the more that you realize this, the Lord is going to honor your word as his very own word, because it will not be you speaking, but it will be Christ speaking. Now people will ask the question, well, if that's the case, then it does say that. They'll say, well, then they'll say, well, how about starting with the 8th verse, where Paul will say, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, etc. Now remember, in 1 Corinthians 12 and also 1 Corinthians the 14th chapter, this Paul is speaking about the divine order of a servant. And in Old Pentecost, and I was taught this way, now after I received the baptism, if you get just real spiritual, if you get real holy, that some way the Lord would allow you to speak in tongues. And I'm not speaking to him in tongues now, but I'm speaking of the gift ministry of speaking in tongues as one of the gifts of the Spirit for the edifying of the body. And then if you'd get a little more spiritual, perhaps God would give you the gift of interpretation. And then if you'd get quite a lot more spiritual, and you know what I'm speaking about, that he would allow you to prophesy. But all the revelational gifts, you just have to get so holy that nobody could touch you, and then you can move into the revelational gift. And if you've got just almost like God himself, that he would use you with the power of gifts. Now that is a false teaching that has come forth in Pentecost. From the time that you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can manifest any or all the 9 gifts of the Spirit, and in the divine order of the service that Paul was speaking about, we may come together tonight in the house of God, and through you will be, for one will be given a word of wisdom, to another will be given interpretation, to another will be given tongue, to another will be manifest of the gift of the casting out of devils, which is through the gift of discerning the Spirit, to another there can be the manifestation or the operation of the word of knowledge. All right, then you may come together tomorrow night. To you that prophesied last night, the Spirit of God can move upon you, and through you will be the operation of discerning of spirits. To another one that had given the tongues message can be the operation of the gift of faith. To another one that last night interpreted can be the operation of the gifts of healing. He worketh all the 9 gifts of the Spirit in all. And the greater this is revelation to us as we come together in 1 Corinthians 14 and 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, that every one of you will have a psalm, every one of you will have a doctrine, half a tongue, half a revelation, half an interpretation. Let all things be done decently and in order. And as I said here, that then as we come together, if the gift isn't already there, how in the world then can we take the scripture in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, and starting with the 31st verse, he said, for ye may all, A-L-L, for ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. If the gift of prophecy isn't there, how are you going to prophesy? And then the word of God goes on to say, and it says, let him that speaketh in another tongue pray that he may interpret. In other words, move into a greater measure of faith. How can you pray that you may interpret if the gift of interpretation is not there? Oh, I pray that this will be a revelation to you, and when there's the understanding of this, then we're going to realize that the anointing abides. Now, we must consider scripture here that is so important for understanding, as we realize that he worketh all the 9 gifts of the Spirit in all, that when we have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that we possess of the ability and the power of God, and God will honor our word as he honors his word because we're speaking in the name of the Lord. All right, in 1 John, the 2nd chapter and the 27th verse, the word of God tells us, but the anointing which ye have received abideth in you. I know this is a shout to older Pentecostal people. The anointing abides. The anointing does not come and go. Now, we have confused, and I want you to write this down. I want you to remember this and hear this over and over, and I'll repeat it many times because you must understand that we have confused anointing and inspiration. Inspiration comes and goes. There are times that I am inspired to preach, and there are times that I am not inspired to minister. But just because I am not inspired to, I know because of the Word of God that the anointing is there, whether I feel inspired or not. Now, this will help you with the operation of the nine gifts of the Spirit and realize that you can move into tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. And I urge those that have been giving tongue messages for years for you to move into a greater measure of faith, begin to interpret. And for those that have been interpreting, for you to move into a greater measure of faith and begin to prophesy. And for those that have moved into the inspirational gifts, for you to begin to move into the revelational gifts. And for those who have moved into the revelational gifts, to begin to move into the power gifts. Because he worketh all in all, and all the nine gifts of the Spirit are there. Now the anointing abides. And as I say, now people may say, well, I don't feel anointed to interpret, or I don't feel anointed to prophesy. I don't feel anointed to do this. In other words, they have confused the word anointing and inspiration. They may not feel inspired to, but the anointing is still there, whether you feel inspired or not, because the anointing abides. And you must remember this and quote it over and over. And when the devil says you can't do this or you can't do that because you don't feel like it, you don't go by your feelings, but you go because of what the Word of God says. But the anointing which ye have received abideth in you. And the word abide means that you dwell in. If a person comes to abide in my house, they dwell in my house. They live in my house. I dwell in my home. I abide there. And this is the same with the working of the Holy Spirit. But the anointing which ye have received abideth in you. Now, as I mentioned, there are many times, especially older Pentecostal people, they think that before they can give a tongue message, or they think before they can interpret, or they think before they can prophesy, or any other, the demonstration of the, or the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, that it's like they have to wait for some glory hammer to hit them on the head. They have to go into some type of ecstasy before they can move in. Now, many times, I thank God for the glory hammer. I thank God for the blessing. I thank God for the ecstasy. See, I'm not against that. But listen, when we call people out who have never prophesied before and we lay hands upon them with the ease and with the joy of the Lord, they can begin to prophesy whether they feel the glory hammer or not. They can begin to interpret whether they feel this ecstasy or not. And before they work into this that we have been so used to working into, because the anointing abides. Say it over and over and over again. The anointing which ye have received abides. Now as we speak this message, I must say this concerning the life and the walk and the victorious life in the Lord. For years we've been singing the chorus, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like Him. Now listen, that chorus, I don't sing it anymore because it's not scriptural. You say you don't believe in being like the Lord. No, I don't, because it's impossible for any of us to be like Jesus. It's impossible for any of us to be like the Lord. It's impossible for the flesh to imitate the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. You say, well, if you don't, and don't start, turn off the tape now, but you follow me here. If you don't, you say, if you don't believe in being like the Lord, what do you believe in? Listen, is Christ in you the hope of glory? None of us can imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. None of us can be imitators of the glory and the majesty of the Lord. And this is the reason the Word of God tells us that we have been buried with Him in water baptism, that we have come forth in newness of life. It is Christ in you the hope of glory. We have been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And when we will allow this to become revelation to us, we have struggled for the victory, we have battled for the victory, we have fought for the victory. And as one sister on the coast said, that we have battled and struggled so for the victory that when we finally do get it, we're too worn out to enjoy it. And many of you know what she is speaking about when she spoke that. We have struggle for the victory. We have battled for the victory. We have tried to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And in so struggling and battling to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, we realize that the flesh is weak, and the Word of God says to have no confidence in the flesh. Listen, saints of God, let's try and quit trying to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ, and let's allow His glory and His majesty and His power to come in an overwhelming, in an overflowing way as we've never been known before. And it will be Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the life that I now live, I don't live by the flesh, but I live by the Son of God that is manifested in and through me. And when we realize this, we will know according to the scripture that I've given you in John, 1 John 2 and 27, but the anointing which ye have received abideth in you. And instead of struggling to be like the Lord, we will move into the victory that was given on Calvary's cross and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ 1900 years ago. He has already given us the the victory. He has already fought the battle, and now it's for us to walk into the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ and allow the victory of Christ to move and operate in and through us as we have never known. Now back to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter again. And I want us to, in all of these studies, just keep close to the Word of God. I want you to forget about what you know in the natural. Even let's forget about the past. And let us allow our minds to be open to revelation and for the Spirit of God to reveal the truth to us in this. And as you do, because as you water, you shall be watered. Now, we in churches, we've sat, and I actually call it unemployed believers. You hear a lot about unemployment during the wintertime. Well, our sanctuaries are filled with unemployed believers. A lot of them have known a lot of the truth, but they don't prophesy, they don't interpret, they don't cast out demons, they don't go forth and in the name of the Lord heal the sick. We're sitting by unemployed believers. We're stuffed, and yet we don't have the joy and the peace because you can't hold all of this in and not give it out and be blessed of God. The more you give it out, the more you impart it to others, the more you impart faith to others, the more there's going to be the operation of faith and the gifts of the Spirit in you. Now let's go on to the 7th verse, 1 Corinthians 12 and 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. All right, now remember that when we are born again, we take on the nature of the heavenlies. The word spiritual is misunderstood. Many times when a person uses the word spiritual or a minister will preach on spiritual life or something, we think that the word spiritual refers to being righteous. We think that the word spiritual refers to be sanctified. The word spiritual means a spirit being. Now, when you as an earthly person, when we as a natural person, we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my personal Savior. From then on out, we are no longer just a natural person, but we are a spirit being because the Spirit of God has entered in. And from then on, as we read in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and starting with the 11th verse and the 12th verse, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. From the minute that we are born again, we are no longer just earthly. We are no longer just natural, but we become a spirit being. When we are born again, we actually take on the nature of the heavenly. We're not just earthly, but we're heavenly. A newborn bird is a bird, and it's not that it is going to be a bird after it begins to get feathers, but it is a bird from the very beginning. God has provided through the Holy Ghost the gifts of the Spirit, means of the reproduction of His divine faculties in His children. Oh, that may become revelation to you today. That is so important. I'm going to quote that again. That God has provided through the Holy Ghost the gifts of the Spirit, which are the means of the reproduction of His divine faculties in His children. Now, everything that God has ever created from the very beginning of time, He's made a means of reproduction with man and woman. He said to reproduce after your kind. With the animals, they reproduce after their kind. Everything that God has ever created, He says to reproduce after your kind. Reproduce after your kind. All right then, how are we going to produce after the order of the divine life of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now I want to say before I quote that again, I'm not interested in reproducing after the old divine or after the old order. The divine order has produced chaos. The divine, the order that we've had in Pentecost for years, you know many of the people are confused. Many of them are sick today. How many have come to the place that they have a word of testimony, that they are walking in victory, that they are more than conquerors? Most people hardly know the life of victory themselves. Then how could they lead another person into victory? Unless you come to the place that you have a word of testimony, that you're walking in victory, how can we impart victory to somebody else? All right, this is done because God has provided through the Holy Ghost the gifts of the Spirit. And through the gifts of the Spirit, these are the means of the reproduction of the divine faculty in His children. We reproduce after our kind. And as parents, as believers, even in Pentecost, and even in holiness groups and other groups, as we come to the place, if we are happy, rejoicing Christians, we're going to produce happy, rejoicing believers. If we are sullen, if we are despondent, if we are discouraged, if there's bickering, if there's backbiting, if there's a lack of joy among us, we're going to reproduce the same type of children. This is the way I say God stir us, and revival must begin at the sanctuary of God.
Revival must begin. We think of revival as the outsiders coming in and repenting. But you can't revive something that hasn't known the Lord. Revival is that which creates, which is touches way down deep in our hearts and our souls. We once known the touch of God. We're revived again. The gift of faith is stirred. The gifts of God are stirred within us. And we're revived because we've known what it is to have the touch of God before. And remember, there is no way that we are going to produce spiritual life. You can have Sunday school contests. You can have all of this other except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. And let me tell you, it's labor. I know what it is to be pastoring under the old school for 13 years to labor to fill this field that you have to call everybody that hasn't been to Sunday school on the last Lord's Day and all of this nonsense that goes along with it, carrying the ball around. May God remove us from being carnal and natural children. May He move us into the realm of the Spirit, then always having to receive ministry that will give forth ministry, will give forth life, because realizing that God has provided through the Holy Ghost the gifts of the Spirit that we may reproduce of the divine faculties in His children and impart this to others by the Holy Ghost. And until it's revelation to us that God worketh all the nine gifts of the Spirit in all who have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we can say we can get along without the nine gifts of the Spirit, and the church has gotten along without the nine gifts of the Spirit, but look what it has produced. Look at the gloom. Look at the discouragement. Look at the despondency. Look at the hypocrisy. Look at the pride. And I'm not speaking in the world, but I'm speaking of that which is in the house of God today. We need a revival of deliverance today. And the Word of God tells us there is deliverance in Zion. There is deliverance in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is power to deliver. And when He speaks of deliverance, He means more than just being saved. Thank God that many people are saved today, but they're not delivered. And it's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to be delivered. And He didn't say that people would just be saved in Zion, but He said there shall be deliverance in Zion, and this will bring the body of Christ into the place that there'll be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. This is Evangelist W.L. Duncan that is ministering on the nine gifts of the Spirit. Again, may I say to you, keep your hearts open to the inspirational gifts. And as you move into the inspirational gifts, it will be easy for you to move into the revelational gifts and also in the power gift. For the Lord says, I will restore. And that which has been destroyed by the enemy is being restored to the body of Christ today.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.